Good morning, everyone. So good to be here and see you all, and welcome to those on the call as well. What I'd like to speak on this morning is the phrase lifted up, but before we do that, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Oh God, our Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit and for your opening our eyes to all these things that we don't know of how you have wrought grace and salvation in us. We pray your help, Father, your anointing by your Spirit to see Jesus, to see what and understand what you have for us this day in our lives and through your word. We thank you for your word and for it being able to be proclaimed right here, right now, that we pray your blessing, that it speaks to our hearts through the Lord Jesus, who was lifted up, raised up. We praise you. Amen. I'd like to start off with a saying that I've heard, and some of you probably in the past too, is the new in the old is concealed, the old in the new is revealed. Through the years growing up, I was raised in a godly home, yet we were strong on Old Testament stories. They were very familiar to me. But New Testament, I didn't really, wasn't really understanding, and a bit of a mystery to me. And so in that context, I want to read Colossians 1, starting at verse 13. And then jumping a few verses through near the end of the chapter there. Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. On to verse 26. The mystery which had been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory. This was a mystery to me, and I felt, if there's anybody here that doesn't understand this mystery, it took me years to understand it. It took me years, even boldness, to inquire about it. I remember being in Young People's, and this is before coming here. We were studying through 1 Peter, and that's a good book to go through, and we were reminded last week about that. Verse 23 goes, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And we were at that verse, and the question came up, what does that mean? Well, having been born again. That stumped the leader, and he said, well, that phrase shouldn't even be in the Bible. And I didn't realize he was in as much darkness as I was on that. And that's how it was left. And that was the end of that discussion. And so I'd like to go to John 3, but John 1 first. It tells us how we are not. And, well, actually, verse 12 tells us, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Well, here, next verse says how. Not, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man. Three different ways here, but of God. So I come to realize this phrase, born, was born of God, born from above. This incorruptible we get is from God. And going to John 3, it's such a good thing to study in the Word. And one way to do that is the Emmaus Bible courses. We've had what the Bible teaches, went through our home with it, went through with the neighbors. It was such a blessing. If you can do that, we did a study of John. We did a study of Revelation. What a blessing to go through these courses. I'd recommend anybody and everybody to do that. But in going through them, it made me aware. This is from 16 on up. I think it was about 6 years before I understood what this word born again means, what it was happening there. It's Ephesians 5:8. For you are sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Well, I didn't know. I was born in darkness. Well, that was quite a shock and a wake up. And thank you, Lord, that was the Holy Spirit. We're born in sin, as we read this morning in Ephesians 2. But yeah, going to John 3, there was a man of the Pharisees, starting at verse 1, named Nicodemus. So this is our first introduction to Nicodemus. He comes out a couple times through John. But he was a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And we're stopped there. But there's a few times the word must comes out in this chapter. And the first time there is you must be born again. We see Nicodemus here. He's a leader of Israel. And he's taking everything in the physical sense, and that's how I took it. That's how I was understanding stories in the Bible, Scripture, New Testament. And that's why it was a mystery to me. Jesus goes on and is talking in spirit. And if our eyes are closed to this, we're not going to see it. It's the Holy Spirit that opens my eyes, your eyes. Verse 9, Jesus says, Are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Well, here's someone that's a leader, but he's in the dark. And he comes in the dark. Now, it doesn't say why he came in the dark, but we can imagine why he didn't want this people to see him that's questioning this one that's doing these signs. And previous to this, the exposure Jesus did, the first thing he does, he riles up the Pharisees. What does he do? Previous chapter, he cleanses the temple. And boy, does he set them off. Well, there's some parallels through the chapter that go back to Jesus in the wilderness, too. How that he wouldn't take a stone to make it bread. And yet he goes, chapter 2, verse 1, he turns water into wine. He satisfies the need of the people. And these comparisons come out. There's more and more. And it goes on to chapter 4, the woman at the well, worship. That's awesome. But I won't get into that. That's a study of its own. Here, Nicodemus coming in the dark, and Jesus saying, are you a teacher? So Jesus takes him to something he can identify with, and it's an Old Testament story that I'm well familiar with over the past, going through Sunday school, going through kids' club. We come down to verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So here Jesus previously said, verse 7, you must be born again. If there's anything that's a takeaway this morning in your heart, your mind, your spirit, you must be born again. That praise the Lord. The secondary thought to me was, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And we know now, or I know now, that's referring to the cross. First off, I'd like to go back to Numbers. That's the story in Numbers. Numbers 21. And just travel with the people there. Israel has come out of Egypt. And there's parallels in our life, and I like to spiritualize here how we've been coming to salvation. We've come out of Egypt, and they're going through the desert. Now, for us, this world isn't our home. It's a desert to us. And they're on their way to the promised land. Well, we are too. And we're on a journey. So I just want to read the context here first in verse 1. It's only a few verses before we get into the story. The king of Arad, that's chapter 25 of Numbers, verse 1, the king of Arad, the Canaanite who dwelt in the south, heard that Israel was coming on the road to Atharim. Then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. So Israel made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord listened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. So the name of that place was called Hormah. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged. So here we have a sidetrack. There, in the previous chapter, they had come. Well, we have Miriam dies, Aaron dies, and they've come up to Edom and ask for permission to go. They want to stay on the easy road, the pathway, as it were. And the Edomites say, no way, we're not going to allow that. Now, that means they can get their water, they can probably buy things, pay. And they said, we won't damage anything. They promised nothing would be ruined or pillaged. No, they were blocked there. And in other words, that would mean going around the long way or something that's way harder. And working as a mechanic, there's sometimes things that are easy to do, say change a start motor or fix a non-starting, change the battery out. Oh, that's all it was. That was easy. There's sometimes you do something two or three times over. And the third time over, it's pretty discouraging. Well, these people were discouraged in the way. And they're on this journey, the Lord's with them, and yet their focus has lost sight of, they've been escaped as slaves out of Egypt. And there was a lesson in this for me in the past season of my life that I want to speak on, too. Let's continue reading. Verse 5, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Now, going through this story as a youngster, young people, it was just a story. Now coming to realize, Jesus uses that in John 3:14, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. This was a mystery, as it were, to me, and there's other portions of layers of the Old Testament that are just comparisons for us to learn from. Well, the way is hard, and I find myself easy to identify with this story in the sense when something isn't going right and it could be different, and it's because, well, actually, it goes back to the time the 12 spies went in the land, I think about 10 chapters before this, and they gave a bad report. 10 spies were, we have this song, they were bad, they were evil, and Caleb and Joshua spoke up, no, in the Lord we can do this, and that's the focus that these guys lost and that I'd lost. And here in this story, what's wrong with complaining? Well, it's very wrong, and we've lost sight of the holiness of God. That was the wake up to me. I've lost sight of the holiness of God. And we come here to worship, and it's to put our sight on God and his holiness. So the Lord sends these fiery serpents, and people die. And this is the picture of we get for Jesus speaking to Nicodemus. So Jesus said, in verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And there's one step here. Jesus lifted onto the cross. And then I realize that's by putting my faith in God's sacrifice. It didn't just come overnight. It was through study of the Word. I just thank the Lord for so many brothers, even here in the past in my life, shared testimony, the Word, time and time again, even up till now, up till this morning. And it's blessing our spirit, my spirit. And that comes to the awareness of this is personal. As was mentioned, this is the personal song we sang. A thousand thanksgiving, I give my Savior to thee. And it wasn't personal to me that I had applied Jesus' blood for my sin. And that's what it needs to be for you, for me. And when these serpent, this people got looking, it made me think of that song, that How to Look and Live. It's one of the songs in our hymn book that it gives, life is offered, this is verse 3 of, it was 247 actually, life is offered to you, hallelujah, eternal life thy soul shall have, if you'll only look to him, hallelujah. That was the part I was missing. If you'll only look to him. And that's every day. That's still today. And look to Jesus, who alone can save, is the last words there. And then look and live. And so my question is, are you alive in him? As we had that one verse in Colossians 1 there, that this is Christ in you, Christ in me. Going on then, Romans 12 became an eye-opener to me in the sense, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, this is verse 1 and 2, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The first part to me of salvation, this transforming, there's another verse in about being conveyed, being translated, there in verse 13 of the very first verse I read. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son. That we're born again. We're born anew. That word conveyed can be translated. We've been taken from one spot and carried away to another spot. It's also the word exchange comes in there. So there's three ways that the Strong's describes it as to be translated, to carry away, to exchange. Well, here, that happens at one time. The next part is us living it. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I just was blessed in this. It's the idea of a butterfly. It's a larva before it metamorphosizes. This is this word, metamorphosize, being transformed. And that starts inside. That's Christ in you. That's being born from above. There's one other time that word comes out, and that's the Mount of Transfiguration. What happens to the Lord? His glory gets unveiled, and all those three disciples, Peter, James, and John, they see all this glorious sight. That's Jesus was transformed. He was metamorphosized in front of them. That's the only two references we have in the New Testament has that word. At any rate, that's what happens to us. This now becomes a work in us, and it's an everyday work. It's something we need to put our mind to, set, as it were, our walk to do this. As I mentioned, there's in Ephesians 5, for ye were sometimes darkness, you are now, but now are ye light in the Lord. This is the now. Walk as children of light. And for my part, a few years back, I had aches and pains, heart issue, getting heart tests, joints, different things. And it was pointed out to me about being thankful. And that just so blessed my heart. One of the elders, that was Colossians 1, verse, I'll just read it here. Actually, Colossians 3. This is 14, 15. But above all these things, put on love. That's the number one thing we should be putting on in our walk. Put on love. Whether this journey is in the desert, whether it's hard in the way, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. This last phrase just caught me like a lightning bolt. And be ye thankful. Oh, wow. That was a real wake-up. I was realizing that in my grumbling state, I'm not being thankful. I need to be thankful. We'll continue on, because let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I miss singing. This is the number one thing I've missed in the last 2 years, singing with all of you folks here. I could do more of it. Verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. There's the thanksgiving again. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. I'd like for us to close with a song, Christ Liveth in Me, number 411 in our red hymn books. Once far from God and dead in sin, no light my heart could see, but in God's word, the light I found, now Christ liveth in me.